So the new Health Minister Robin Swan says he's found the money to resolve the nurses' pay dispute and get health workers off the picket line and back to work. But where is the money coming from? He has moved from one studio to another. Good morning to you, Minister.
Morning, William.
Have you got used to that title yet?
Not really, no.
I'm sure it'll come. So you've announced that you're borrowing $30 million from next year's dormant budget. I'm sure many will not be surprised that you've put money on the table to settle that dispute. But surely, is it not dangerous to borrow from future budgets that's not financially stable?
Well, it would be dangerous not to do the right thing in regards to pay parity. And I think that's something that I'm appreciative of when I put the challenge to my ministerial colleagues that I got the support to do that yesterday. The issue that we need to clarify around the $30 million that I need was to provide pay parity for 2019-2020 for actually this year.
Yeah.
So it's that shortfall. So,
but again, you've said it yourself. So you're borrowing from next year's money. We know how hostile politics can be here. That money, the $2 billion, whatever that ends up being, has not been completely confirmed yet. Therefore, we don't know what will happen.
Well, it's when that money comes, it hasn't been confirmed yet. I'm meeting the finance minister after this interview. But what has been guaranteed by the executive, by the ministerial colleagues, that the money is there for pay parity. Where we find it now has been an executive decision, especially this $30 million. But it's something that we have done and something we've been able to do collectively, because my priority since coming in on Saturday afternoon has been to do whatever it takes to alleviate the industrial action that we're facing again next week. Because those unions don't want to be in the picket line.
I understand that. But of course, again, these reports say that the government have put around $2 billion, this package, on the table. There's questions over how much of that is new money and how much of that is money that would be coming anyway. But it's less than what yourselves wanted. So do you feel cheated that you've been put into this position by Westminster?
But put it this way, the paper that was presented last week was a paper of the two governments, funny, and I'm sure if you wanted to get Connor in as finance minister, he could go into the fine detail of that. But you know, as health minister, my first priority was pay parity, safe staffing, waiting lists. So that's where I want to concentrate my time in these early days of office.
Sammy Wilson is in today's Belfast Telegraph saying that the finance minister should stop moaning that the government's financial package for the new executive falls short. We've heard Conor Murphy refer to that a few times. He says all the parties drew up this enormous wish list without securing the money to deliver it. So then it brings us down to costing. You know, you're part of this executive now in terms of the costing for this wish list. Why was that not done?
But and again, Vinnie, you're going back to the talks process and the political document that was put forward as a document owned by the two governments, drafted by the two governments, edited by the two governments. So I'm into this portfolio now. We took it on Friday. So, no, Vinnie, I understand. I'm in the executive now.
And now there's no leverage. There's no bargaining tool. You're in there. It's what Westminster wanted. What happens now?
What happens now is we have Northern Ireland ministers in place, and it's about us doing what we need to do for the people of Northern Ireland. It's us getting back to doing our job, one we were elected to do 3 years ago.
But
something
been
that the public has been crying out for. In a lot of that, the detail of the paper that was produced, parties were asked for what they would like to see. Yeah. The expectation was that the money was following after that. Yeah. Now, that hasn't come to fruition. Yeah. And look, when we had the meeting with the Secretary of State, at that point where it came clear that the money wasn't on the table for everything that was in their paper, the two governments' paper, it did cause a quite frustrated scene among Northern Ireland politicians with the NIO. And I'm not sure how much of this is NIO or Treasury. And I do know that, again, the finance minister has taken that on board. But what I will tell you, at that meeting, when it came to light clearly that the $30 million that we expected wasn't there, within that 12-hour period, overnight, there was engagement between the Department of Finance, Treasury and the Department of Health where we could find that $30 million that we had promised for pay parity. So we saw Northern Ireland politics actually work at that point in time, so we could come forward with a solution in regards to trying to get our unions off the picket line.
And in terms of health, it's a very emotive issue, and I understand that. But again, you are creating a deficit in money that you've not got yet. You're not absolutely certain about this big cash injection, what that will actually be. So if things don't do well in the executive, let's say hypothetically that there is an issue and it does stumble, and then we then look ahead to a point where we don't have the money coming in. So if things fall over, we have an extra problem in the future in a budget that wasn't sufficient in the first place.
But the thing about it is the Northern our own Northern Ireland executive budget hasn't actually been set at this moment in time either. So we're going now, and that's what I said, we're going now to see the finance minister to make sure that those health asks and those commitments are there. And it's one thing that I will say, every party in Northern Ireland made health a priority in the last Westminster election and everything they've said. And I've looked to the commitments from the party leaders, from the ministerial colleagues that I have, that they won't make health a party political issue. And okay. I want to hold them to that. And so far, in regards to this, they haven't.
We've talked about that pay parity issue. What's next on your list? And I assume it's the waiting lists and trying to tackle them. That's another huge task, but another big bill attached.
It is, and it's how quick we can actually ramp up to tackle waiting lists. It's something that has to be done because that is the major pressure on our health service at this minute in time. The other issue we have out there is mental health. And mental health is actually, it's a cross-departmental issue, it's a cross-societal issue that we need to be tackling in a collective approach.
One of the pledges in this New Decade, New Approach deal was that no one would be waiting from the 30th of September last year, over a year, for outpatient or inpatient assessment or treatment. And that obviously comes with a huge bill. Richard Pengelly, I know you were talking about this with Karen a few minutes ago, would cost $1 billion to try and sort that out. So where's that money coming from?
That $1 billion is actually to completely eradicate waiting lists in that time. And look,
To bring them to zero.
Yeah, that's where that billion figure comes from.
So what is the figure then to do that? That one year will be your max wait?
To bring that down is the $1 billion. So that's what I'm saying. Bring it down to zero in that 1 year period. What I want to do, I haven't got a figure at this moment in time to where we need to be to start to reduce those waiting lists. It is a crucial issue. I've spent my time since 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon sorting out pay party
and
trying to sort out the industrial action.
You're days into this, we could even say ours, and I understand. Are you surprised as well that, you know, in terms of who wanted the ministry, you know, it's a very important one, it's a key one here in Northern Ireland. Did you think other parties might be fighting for that?
We actually did. And I think, you know, as I said a few moments earlier, it was one we were still surprised was actually on the table when it came to our selection.
Why do you think that was?
I'm not sure. I don't know that.
Tough one. Was it a case that people thought, that is so hard, you'll be under so much scrutiny, it's almost an impossible task, I don't want it?
Well, look, that's the question you need to ask other party leaders and other ministers, Steve Egan.
You've been in that for years. You know, you've worked in politics for some time. So surely these are conversations you've had before.
Well, one of the things about Saturday and the way we ran ministerial selections, it was a very close job. Nobody, I think, was actually aware of who was going to take what until the process started. We were surprised that health was still on the table. Steve Egan, as party leader, has made it clear that health was going to be a priority for the Ulster Unionist Party. We took the portfolio. We are under no illusion.
Are you the Fall Guys?
I hope not. Because we have that commitment from the other parties that they won't play politics out of health. And I don't think the people of Northern Ireland would forgive any party who started to make this a party political issue.
Just going back to tackling those waiting lists, there's also suggestion that other things will need to come into play, not just money. So we're talking about more theatres, the use of weekends, the private sector. There's also then issues with doctors' pensions and that dispute there. That's led to a reduction in them wanting to do overtime. So if we look at that, for example, how are you going to persuade them to do more to help you know, reduce those lists because you need them?
Yeah, this is the big conversation, and that's why I started. One of the things when I actually met trade union officials yesterday, I wanted to re-establish this strategic partnership forum, which actually involves senior representatives from trusts, from the unions themselves, actually to bring them back into the centre of how we transform our health service and how we can actually physically challenge and solve those issues that you're talking about. So it is about utilising what capacity we have within our own National Health Service and utilising the private sector as well. I make no qualms about that. We will need to work in partnership with them if we are going to reduce the waiting lists and the time and the frame that we want to do it.
All the parties signed up to the Bangua reforms before, of course, the collapse of the last executive. Are they still supporting that? Are you?
At this moment in time, Bangua is on the table. It's a reform that has been supported by all the parties. And then, look, one of the things, and I'll tell you here today, we have reached out to Raphael Bangua to come back over to give us an update as to where he sees his report and how it sits. We put the ask. We put the ask out yesterday.
Okay.
But no, it was one of the. But once we thought with the unions and board in regards to pay parity and safe staffing, we put that reach out because we want to see without 3 years of a health minister where his reforms and health proposals actually sit.
And of course, one thing, and we've talked about on this programme many times over the past few years in terms of the difficult decisions within health. There's many of them, but to try and make Northern Ireland more sustainable to work better. Closing units, closing hospitals. Where do you stand on that?
Vinny, the health service isn't about buildings. The health service is actually about the people who utilise it and the people who work in it. So no, let's not get fixated on bricks and mortar.
But rationalisation of services was part of the Bingoa report. So if we see that through, you know, that in some instances could lead to closing down units.
Not necessarily. Is it about the rationalisation and the centralisation of services? So that's something we need to look at. It's something that I haven't had detail to look at in this moment in time, but it does not mean closing buildings.
So are you saying that's not something you would want to do?
It's not something I think any health minister would want to do, but we do
need... I know, but when I say want, I don't mean want as in it's something you would take pleasure in, but in terms of making the service work better, an essential closure to make... We talk about centres of excellence, etc. Are you saying you wouldn't close it?
But to adapt a centre of excellence, you need a facility actually to put it in. And that's why I say, let's not get caught up in looking at the health service as bricks and mortar at this moment in time. We've waiting lists, we've pay parity to sort, we've people to deal with here, and I think that's where my focus has to be, is how we actually support the people working in the health service and the people who utilise it.
People in rural areas, or say for example around Uri, they may find that difficult to listen to.
And how?
Well, because if they live in an area where they feel like they have to travel already to go to a hospital, if they end up having to go even further...
I'm not saying that. This morning I didn't say anybody had to travel any further, but if we have to establish centres of excellence, there may be additional travel needed to get a better service and a centralisation of service. It's not something we've finalised yet, Vinny. It's not something we've looked at, but it's something that may be necessary.
You're a busy man, and you gave us 10 minutes. I've gone... Well, 3 or 4 minutes over
that.
That's
all right. I'll allow you that.
I appreciate your time, Robin. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Vinny.
Minister Swan. We also have Pat Cullen from the RCN Union with us on the line. Good morning to you, Pat.
Good morning.
Pat, your reaction, first of all, to what the Minister said this morning.
Well, there's no doubt in my mind that this Minister is totally committed to doing the right thing for people in Northern Ireland and certainly the right thing for nurses and healthcare workers. However, we need to get these two key issues over the line. We're nearly there with pay parity, and that is most welcome from the Minister. He certainly has put his best foot forward to think that the first debate yesterday held on the floor of the Assembly was on health. That sends a big message out to nurses. It sends a big message about our Minister's commitment, and we certainly will walk with him every step of this way. If he does the right thing for frontline healthcare workers, including those nurses that have stood in picket lines, but more importantly for the people of Northern Ireland, you definitely deserve this.
You mentioned pay parity, that's almost over the line. What else is on your list? Remind us what else you need to have to get the whole deal over the line and call off all future strikes.
Well, if we went back over and listened to every nurse that has spoken out, very courageously, I have to say, and with such determination over this last number of months on those picket lines. Every one of them starts their conversations about the need for safe staffing to try and bring our health service back from the collapse that it's in and to try and make their work a little bit more easy so that they can care for their patients. That's what every conversation starts off with. Again, this morning we heard that from one of our frontline clinical nurses. That's what's important to them. That's definitely not over the line yet, and that's concerning for me.
Yeah.
It's concerning for the Royal College of Nursing.
And of course we heard from the Minister there regarding those waiting lists. More strikes would actually make them worse. So where do you go from there? He's trying to do what he can with the money he can get his hands on.
Well, things can't get much worse than what they are, and the nurses have spoken loud and clear. They have done their bit to get the Assembly up and running again.
And I understand what you mean.
And they will continue to do that.
Yeah. But they can, of course, get worse, because when you know yourself, whenever there is a strike day, there are appointments cancelled. It does extend waiting lists to some extent for people. There's more pressure again then on the service. People might understand exactly why you're doing it, Pat. They might agree with why you're doing it. But at the same time, it will have an impact on those waiting lists.
We're doing it to get the additional pre-registration nursing students in place, the additional people that's needed to be actually working within our health service. We're doing it because we need more district nurses and health visitors and school nurses trained. That's what every nurse is saying. There's no gain in this personally for any nurse in their pay packet by fighting for the health service for safe staffing. But that's what they've fought for. They're fighting for the health service. They will continue to fight for the health service. It was concerning last night, after having a very, very positive meeting with the minister, that I had some communications with departmental officials that said this is definitely not over the line. Now, that will mean that I will want to have a conversation or communication directly with our minister today, because that's where my trust lies. That's where every nurse's trust lies. He is the man with that is the decision maker. We've now found that table to make decisions, and okay, he has to be given the opportunity to do that.
When they said this is definitely not over the line, did they go into more detail for you?
They have, but I don't want to go into that now. But I certainly will want to go into that detail with the minister today. There has been trust eroded in this system, certainly with the Department of Health. And until I get this letter in my hand that says that what we have committed to as the Royal College of Nursing, this has been escalated now to the highest level within our organisation, the RCN 4 Country UK Council. They want to see the letter now. They're not content at this stage to leave it with the Northern Ireland.
I'm intrigued.
A conversation with them this morning.
Yeah, sorry, correct me if I'm wrong, Pat. I'm just intrigued. I know you said you don't want to go into more detail in terms of that conversation, but you had a conversation after the meeting with the minister, with the departmental officials, and it was through their conversation with you that they said that they still have major concerns which have been passed to you.
There was a communication with me last night. I don't want to go into the detail, but that communication certainly indicated to me that the minister, that there may be difficulties with the minister committing to the issues in relation to safe staffing. What I want to say around that is that there are a number of our demands. We have laid them out very clear, put them in front of the Secretary of State, put them in front of every party leader. We've also sent them to the department. And we also, on Saturday evening, restated those to the minister and our congratulations to him, because we're delighted that he is in post. Now, when that came to me last night, that was a very worrying circumstance for me.
Yeah.
And obviously I had to communicate then with my UK council, and I had to communicate with our members, and I've done that. But what they're saying is that the minister may not be able to commit to everything that's in those demands. Those demands are simple, they're clear, they're what's needed for people in Northern Ireland to have their health service up and running.
Did they say what bits of those demands that he would have difficulty committing to or following through on?
Okay. And I've gone back to them and said, I would like to see what it is and what communication. Is this from the minister, or is it from departmental officials, assuming that the minister won't be able to commit to these? Because as soon as we had the meeting with the minister yesterday, the minister actually very graciously sent an acknowledgement correspondence to ourselves, setting out what we had discussed at that meeting. He has also said this morning that he will establish the Strategic Partnership Forum, working closely with the unions. We don't want to be disruptive in this. It's not our intentions. We're a professional organisation representing nurses. I'm a nurse myself. And what we want to do is to do the right thing for patients and the
okay.
people of Northern Ireland.
I'm just trying to walk through this, and I understand, Pat, that there's a certain amount of the communication you don't want to divulge with us and go too far, but some will maybe read into that and think that these departmental officials were telling you that perhaps the minister was overreaching in what he can do for yourselves, what he can commit to in terms of safe staffing. So, you know, is he telling you something different than his officials are?
Well, that's what I need to know today. I absolutely believe what Robin Swan told us yesterday. He was open, honest, and there was a feeling in that room that we haven't had for a long, long time from a minister that gave us every indication that he was totally committed.
Yeah, but and again, reading into that, and
yesterday.
Sorry to talk, I know you're tight for time, but you know, reading into that, is the minister saying, I can do this, that and the other for you, which obviously is music to your ears, and then you're getting a phone call from a departmental official saying, be careful, let's not go too far. You know, there may be issues in what we can actually follow through on.
Well, what the minister committed to yesterday was addressing safe staffing. He asked that the departmental officials would go away and work up a letter to send to us today. we corresponded around that yesterday evening, and the correspondence back to me was, we don't think we can just go as far as this. So there's a number of areas that will need immediate investment, and we know that. It's around the additional student nurses. We know that that needs to happen. But there are other areas in there that we absolutely are realistic enough to know that Minister Swan doesn't have a pot of gold sitting in his desk. So we want to work with him to do that over the next 5 years. What we don't need are blockages put on the very first day that we have a communication from the Minister. We want to work with the Minister directly, and we believe it's departmental officials' duty also to the people of Northern Ireland and to nurses and to other healthcare workers to work with the Minister and support him to do the best thing and get safe staffing over the line.
You can hear the slight contradiction there, Pat. You know, you're saying, you're acknowledging that the Minister, he does not have an endless pot of gold. He has a certain amount of money. There is some uncertainty over that money as well. He has already followed through in terms of the safe staffing, pay parity, and he has made certain assurances to you for safe staffing, yet you're still threatening strike. So should there not be a bit of give and take here, a bit of, well, look, the Minister is in place, he is trying his best, and we have faith in him to follow through, therefore let's get things back on the road for now and revisit somewhere down the line?
And all I need is a formal communication to put to our UK Council to say that the Minister will follow through. I have no doubt that he will do that today, and that needs to happen. What I'm saying is,
where does he get the money from? You know, if that issue with money is there, you've admitted that he doesn't have an infinite amount of money. So where does he go from there to try and make you happy and try and call off future strikes?
It's not about making me happy. It's about delivering on those commitments that we set out very clearly to both the department, now to the Minister, and to those that we communicated with beforehand. Those need to be taken forward for nursing, for other healthcare workers, but particularly those safe staffing issues for nursing. That's what we need to see happening, and we will work with the Minister to make it happen. What I want is a formal communication to say that commitment. As I've said, trust has been eroded out of this system, and until I get that letter, I honestly cannot go back to my members and say that we have had a formal commitment on safe staffing that will deliver for patients and deliver for nurses, given the crisis that they're working in.
Can I just clarify with you in terms of the next strike that the RCN are involved in?
Yes, there's 3 days of next week, Monday, Wednesday and Friday. And with a really very heavy heart, I know we say this all the time, but it's with a really heavy heart this morning that I have been instructed by my council this morning, the UK Council, that I must continue to make those preparations until that letter is received around safe staffing. We've said all along, some people maybe just didn't pay particular heed to it, that safe staffing was the absolute priority for nurses. It wasn't as much about pay, but of course pay is equally important if we are to be employers of choice. But we need to get staffing sorted out so that we can do the best for patients. And until I get that, I honestly cannot move.
So Monday, Wednesday and Friday at this point?
Yes.
And are they 12-hour strikes?
They are, starting again at the same time. But I have lined up now the Northern Ireland Board to consider any correspondence that I receive tomorrow, but that now has been escalated to Council, who wants to make the decision. I have arranged a meeting to be held tentatively now with our UK Council on Friday morning, who want to make the ultimate decision because they are so deeply concerned.
And obviously the strikes could be called off even up to the last minute on Monday morning.
They could, but it's only fair that we give employers and patients as much notice as possible that they can that anything would be suspended, and I say suspended, and our suspension could be just for next week. That's what we're looking at the minute. But I can't suspend without having formal communications in my hands, followed through from the acknowledgement email that we received from the Minister last night, which we are very grateful for. But that's certainly not enough for me to put on the UK Council table on Friday morning to say we've moved forward on behalf of people and behalf of patients.
Yeah, the pay parity issue is not enough. The confirmation from the Minister on that is not enough to cancel these future strikes.
Look, nurses have said this all along, that you know, when they were being berated about being mercenary and about wanting to be paid more, etc., etc. They kept saying and saying and saying, look, this is not principally about pay for us. We are working in a health service where we have beds lined up absolutely everywhere. We want a better health service for our patients. We want to be able to come in and care for our patients, to be able to do those things that we have been trained and we're highly expert in doing. That's what needs addressed. That's not putting money, as I keep saying, into their individual pockets, but it's doing the right thing for their patients. And every nurse is obligated, no matter what level they work in an organisation, every nurse is obligated to speak up on behalf of their patients in this respect.
So if the strikes go ahead next week, Pat, so that's 3 days of pay that nurses will lose, on top of how many already this month?
They've already lost 3 days' pay. And that just
so we're over a week in terms of what they're losing out of their pay packet.
Yes, and that again is just, I suppose, after having Christmas over, and those are the lowest paid workers, although Minister Swan's commitment to them yesterday has given them a spring in their step. But here we are again. Those nurses are speaking up and saying we are willing to lose 3 days' pay to speak up for patients and get what's right for patients, nothing more, nothing less. And isn't that testament to those nurses?
Yeah, but
the fact that they are willing to lose another 3 days' pay.
The reason I ask is that surely this will get to a point, if we continue into February or the rest of January like this, it'll get to a point where the nurses are losing so much money that they can't meet their bills. So where do you go from there?
Well, we as a union are trying our best to help them out in that way. But again, I keep going back and I'm in absolute awe of these people and what a privilege it is to work with our nurses, when they actually have said, we've tried to tell you all along that listen to the voice of nursing, listen to the people on the front line. We're not mercenary. We're not wanting to line our pockets with money. We're wanting to speak up for the health service and patients. Their patients deserve better. And they are a testament to that. The fact that they will lose another 3 days' pay to make sure that the health service doesn't fall under the collapse that it's in. It is in collapse. They're trying to bring it back from the brink. And we will walk every step of the way with Minister Swan, and he will have a much easier journey if he listens to the front line, which he has absolutely said yesterday he will. And my goodness, there's not a nurse will let him down, and certainly we won't either as the Royal College of Nursing, because this is a man that wants to do the right thing, and we will work with him.
Okay, Pat Collin from the RCN, thank you very much. We'll speak to Anne Speed from the Union Unison in just a moment. 0303 80 55 55. One point that we were putting there to Pat Collin in reference to where the new minister, who's only been in post for a matter of days, what he has done so far, pay parity is something he's tried to get across a line for them, and he has made some assurances over the safe staffing promises. Do you think that the nurses should cut them a bit of slack, should let the minister and his department try and do what they can do? These negotiations over the money as part of the deal from Westminster, should they be given some time and perhaps postpone future strikes? What do you think this morning? Anne Speed from the Union Unison is with us. Good morning to you, Anne. Sorry to keep you waiting.
Good morning.
First of all, 30 million that he's borrowed from future budgets at Stormont within, it's not come directly from Westminster. What's your reaction to that, Anne?
Well, as Pat shared with you there, we had a meaningful briefing from the minister. He's made two public declarations. One, he will oversee the restoration of pay parity, and the detail of how and where they're getting the money, I leave to the executive. I think Julian Smith promises to us to ensure that it's new monies, as we understood it, is met, but I leave that to the politicians. The second commitment from Minister Swan was to respond to the safe staffing concerns and to begin an additional investment of up to 10 million to begin to address strategies and initiatives around safe staffing. Now, his letter to us yesterday was high level, echoing and emphasising those verbal commitments he gave us, so we have them on paper. That's the correspondence I'm looking at. I'm not aware of any other paper coming from the department. And we have
is this a letter that Pat was referring to in terms of the concerns that she had raised from departmental staff over the assurances the minister had made?
You'll appreciate I haven't spoken with Pat this morning, so there may be additional paper that I have not seen, but as lead negotiator I would expect to see it. The high-level commitment from the minister yesterday is simply that. We now today have a job of work to do at the department, which is to verify and confirm and be assured that all the figures we see for the restoration of pay parity are correct and acceptable to us. And on the second aspect of our dispute, safe staffing, we have to get words into a framework agreement that is enough for all unions to bring back to their executives tomorrow. As Pat said, hers is scheduled, ours is scheduled. So I agree with her in this. A high-level letter from the minister isn't enough to bring back to an executive of representatives of unions who've been on strike now, and our members have been on strike since the 20th, or taking industrial action since late November. And indeed, we have over 6,000 nurses in unison, and they will want to see what's on the paper on safe staffing.
Okay.
So the piece of work we have to do today, Vinnie, is we need to get a framework agreement with the detail that trade unions will always require in the resolution of any dispute on paper. And that is the document we will bring to the respective executives, not any high-level letter that ministers send. Now, that framework agreement obviously has to go to the minister for his acknowledgement and acknowledgement that this is the agreement between trade union side and the Department of Health.
Are you,
that's how these things procedurally
are you
work.
Saying, Anne, just to read into that a little bit further, again, correct me if I'm wrong, are you saying that you don't completely trust the commitments that the minister has made in a written letter to you?
No, I'm not saying that. No, absolutely not. I accept the minister, I'm told, he's a man of his word. Our membership have known him as someone who stood with them in terms of issues in the health service that we have campaigned on over the years. But trade unions always require to work the documents, which are the, if you like, the prescription for going forward. The devil is in the detail. We will always look for framework agreements. Letters from ministers are never the basis on which we will bring a report back to any executive. Now, this framework agreement that we're going to work on today, we will need Minister Swan to acknowledge in writing that he accepts this is the framework agreement.
How long would it take to create one of those framework agreements? Because obviously it's a very pressing issue. There are three more days of strikes planned for this week. And again, regardless of your, you know, how you feel about the nurses going out on strike, that will affect people, their daily lives and their health. So it's going to put more pressure on the health service. So is it realistic to expect that framework agreement to be done beforehand? Or could you maybe extend an olive branch and say, we've had an assurance from the minister, let's postpone for now?
Look, a framework agreement, it isn't rocket science. We have professional negotiators at the table from trade unions. And we know what we're about today. We're about getting the detail. And there's been substantial work done over the last number of months on all the statistics and all the figures. We need to just get them confirmed. And I've no doubt that our collective brain power, that we can seek to get words on paper that satisfy us, hopefully, in relation to safe staffing. Now, if that can't be done, each constituent union will have to make a decision. But at this point in time, we're all committed to working collectively. I'm committed to be in the department for as long as it takes today, tomorrow, to get this done. And we can do it. As I said, we're professionals. We know what we're doing.
Okay. Anne Speed from the Union Unison, thank you very much. Let's go to the phone, 0303 80 55 55. Eileen, good morning to you.
Good morning, Vinnie.
What do you think?
I just think that now that the minister and indeed all the executive have said yes to what the nurses need and what the nurse deserve, that it's time that the nurses met them halfway and called off the next strike, which is going to cause chaos.
Three days of 12-hour strikes.
Yeah, it's far too much.
You understand, though, why the nurses feel like they've been very badly treated in the past,
absolutely,
and they've had to get to this point to get, I guess, get the attention off the people that can implement these changes.
they've got it.
There's still questions, of course, over that money. The money that this thirty million for the pay parity has been borrowed from future budgets.
Oh, I know. But the minister has assured that wherever it comes from, and I get your point, we thought it was going to be a separate amount of money given, and maybe it will be indeed. But they're going to get their money, they're going to get their rise, he's going to look at everything, and it's time there was a bit of give on the other side. I mean, people now won't support them. It's as simple as that.
You think they will lose support?
They had support before this, but now people will say, no, enough's enough. And listen, if they don't get everything they want, they know they have the power to come out again. But at the minute, it's time that they came back.
But let's not forget as well that one of the key sticking points that still remain is that safe staffing and the assurances they want over that. And whereas that, of course, directly impacts on the nurses and how they do their jobs, it's also us, though, as people like you and me that will go in there. So, you know, some will make the argument that, here, make sure you don't fold on that. Wait until you've got that completely signed, sealed and delivered, because that directly impacts your own health.
I think they need to take the minister's word on that and stop all the, you know, it's time to meet them halfway.
Commitments are one thing and assurances are one thing, but when there are still questions over money and finances, we can all pledge and say we want to do X, Y and Z, but if the money doesn't follow through to back that up, is it not pointless?
If the money doesn't follow through, they have the opportunity. They've showed the power they have. They can strike again, but at the minute it's time for them to call off the strike and go back to talking. And I think that minister sounded absolutely committed, as apparently all the other ministers felt the same way, that
no one is questioning the commitment and the want to do good, but again, there are still questions over that money. So unfortunately, we need the money to make these changes, and if that doesn't follow through, there's still a lot of questions.
I think the money will come because the two governments signed up to it, and surely they're not going to go back on their word. I just think at the minute it needs to, you probably have a different opinion, but I feel that they need to call off the strike and hopefully they'll be satisfied.